Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary, and that is followed at 10:15 by Locus Focus. With host Barbara Bernstein, she speaks with scientists Seth Darling and Douglas Sisterson about their book, How to Change Minds About Our Changing Climate. At 11, Jimmy Tardy speaks with Adam Tanner, a fellow at Harvard's Institute for Quantitative Social Sciences and author of What Stays in Vegas, Personal Data, Big Business, and the End of Privacy. And at 11:30 on the Radio Zine, Dan Johnson interviews Maya Chamberlain from Friendly House about the upcoming Sage Metro Gay and Gray Expo 2014. And we want to thank KBOO members for your generous support. Our fall membership drive starts on October 1st. It's not August anymore. October 1st. It's a great time to join or renew. Stand by.
Terry Riley's In C. Composed in 1964, this minimalist masterpiece would go on to become one of the most influential works of the 20th century. Join the A Different Nature Collective Monday, September 29th, from 8 p.m. until midnight, for a 50th anniversary celebration of this seminal work. In the final hour, from 11 p.m. to midnight, there will be a special live in-studio performance from some of Portland's top creative musicians. So tune in Monday, September 29th, from 8 p.m. until midnight. That's Terry Riley's In C.
Cascadia. Well, we have another successful blockade of an Israeli ship attempting to make dock in Oakland. This on the eve of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin and War Criminal Benjamin Netanyahu addressing the United Nations, attempting to deny what the whole world knows to be true, that war crimes were committed in Gaza, a captive civilian population with no place to run, no place to hide, no bomb shelters. There's no air raid sirens that go off when Israeli jets, provided by the U.S., of course, start the bombing raids. And they continued in this last attack. They continue day and night. No sirens go off because there's nowhere to go. No bomb shelters to flee to. And of course, it's a captive population. The Israelis won't let them leave. They're there, contained in a very small area in Gaza with their homes, businesses, lives being destroyed. And Netanyahu is on his way to the United Nations to explain to the world why this is perfectly okay and this is not in any way constitute criminal activity. How this he's going to perform this hat trick will be probably one of a piece with his previous such follies. And the U.S. and Obama will, of course, be on their knees before him because, of course, we wouldn't want to upset people, right? So, that said, other news on September 8th. Danny Davis from Chicago became the third member of Congress to issue a public statement calling for an end to the blockade of Gaza, joining Representatives Keith Ellison and Barbara Lee. The Davis statement came as a result of grassroots engagement led by the Chicago-based Committee for Just Peace in Israel and Palestine. Their story is an inspiration to everyone, showing that With perseverance and persuasion, it is possible to turn members of Congress out in favor of justice in Israel and Palestine. And we will see what happens in the aftermath of Netanyahu's babbling. The Israelis and the Palestinians are scheduled to begin their next round of talks in late October, with Hamas and the Palestinian authorities' announcement of a unity agreement and the transfer of control of Gaza to the Palestinian Authority. The ground should be set for an agreement to end the blockade, and that's left is to build the political will. Just Foreign Policy, we're going to try to get Robert Naiman with Just Foreign Policy on the show today to talk about this effort, which Just Foreign Policy is supporting, and why this particular project stands a chance of seeing some considerable success. Returning to closer to home, back in Cascadia, in fact, down on the Oregon-California border, the center definitely cannot hold, but out on the edges, the struggle to defend the wilderness and its sacred sites continues to rack up successes. Native American tribal members, including direct descendants of the Pomo people who once lived in Little Lake Valley. This is exactly the ground zero of where Caltrans is currently attempting to build an oversized freeway bypass. Pomo descendants will join environmental groups in a mass protest on the north end of the project. This is going on today, I believe. It was yesterday. Protesters will enter the construction zone north of town in early morning hours and managed to stand in the way of the earth-moving equipment that was scheduled to rip through their legitimately their own land, whether spiritual or not. Simple laws of the land would dictate that Caltrans has no business doing this on traditional Indian territory. The Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians has joined a growing number of local governments opposing the state legislature's decision to allow hydraulic fracking in North Carolina. That said, Americans casually flip open whatever device happens to be at hand and watch the Middle East implode. The classic, it can't happen here, but it can and it will unless and until the inequality, racism, and catastrophic overpopulation here in this country are addressed. Take a look at what recently happened in Ferguson. We have more headlines, but we've got Robert Naiman of Just Foreign Policy joining us on the line right now to talk about this Chicago-based effort and why it merits serious support, serious attention. Good morning, Robert, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Good to be with you.
Well, we've got a number of things happening. The Israeli ship blocked at the port of Oakland. We've got Netanyahu addressing the United Nations. And in the Middle East, people in Gaza are still unable to rebuild because, of course, the blockade there. Can you talk a little bit about Danny Davis, Keith Ellison, and Barbara Lee showing some courage that we don't often see in Congress?
Yeah, so we have a window right now of about a month. The diplomatic talks between Israeli representatives and Palestinian representatives are supposed to resume in Cairo at the end of October on the question of the Gaza blockade. So there's a window right now to end the Gaza blockade through diplomacy. What we're trying to do is get members of Congress to speak out and say that the Gaza blockade should end with diplomacy now. And I have to say that I think it's not just a question of courage. I think that in some sense the courage question is not just members of Congress. It's activists and members of the public. People are simply not engaging and not asking. The reason that Danny Davis did this in Chicago is because people asked him, people engaged. And we have a lot of people, unfortunately, who get, you know, got jazzed, you know, during the war, and now those people are gone. And what a lot of the people said during the war was, cut U.S. military aid to Israel, which is like, you know, is, as far as most members are from in Congress are concerned, is something totally from Mars. You know, there's that's just not something that they can do. There's a couple of members of Congress who can do that, but the other members, you know, you might as well ask them to go to the moon. But getting members of Congress to say the blockade of Gaza should end now through diplomacy, that's a reasonable ask, which more people would do if more activists would engage, you know, and show up at town meetings and say, you know, why aren't you calling for ending the blockade of Gaza, calling and writing their members of Congress to say, hey, I'm a constituent, and I want you to speak up now for ending the blockade of Gaza through diplomacy. So, yes, you know, everybody knows that there's AIPAC, but part of the problem is that the people in the United States who care about Palestinian rights, a lot of them are not being strategic. If you call for Congress to cut off U.S. military aid to Israel, that's like a kamikaze mission straight into the AIPAC buzzsaw. Like, nobody who wanted to be strategic would think of that as a strategy in 10 trillion years. But if you say, well, why don't we just end the blockade of Gaza through diplomacy, which is something that's, like, already, you know, being discussed. It's like, there's already talk scheduled a month from now. And, you know, the U.N. Secretary General has already said, hey, let's end the blockade of Gaza with the diplomacy that addresses legitimate Israeli security concerns. This is like something that's on the table for discussion. So really, you know, our big problem is not the cowardice of members of Congress. It's the inflexibility of activists and lack of leadership of in the activist community. You know, if we could get all the American Muslims, you know, if we could get like 10% of the mosques on a Friday to say, okay, today is Gaza Day, and we want everyone here on Monday to call their members of Congress and say, we want you to speak out for ending the blockade of Gaza. That's how AIPAC does. You know, a lot of their power comes from, I mean, you know, I can tell you as a Jewish person, you know, like the rabbi gets up and says, okay, you know, we have a request from the Jewish Federation. We need to call your member of Congress. Well, mosques could do that too, but they need to be, you know, people need to be strategic. And calling for cutting off U.S. military aid to Israel, totally unstrategic. Regardless of what you think about the issue of the merit, that's a kamikaze mission straight into the AIPAC buzzsaw. We need to engage the members of Congress on policy, and that's where we can move them. And this is something that we're trying to show with our campaign. Like, you know, now we have three, could be four. We could get other members of the Congressional Progressive Caucus and the Congressional Black Caucus to speak up in favor of ending the blockade of Gaza.
What about the divest sanctions boycott movement? I know that the problem here that I see is that the momentum in the activist community is rolling in the direction of demanding. When activists write to their elected representatives, they tend to demand things like, and they want like what you said, and it's not going to work. They say end our financial support for the Israeli military, things that are, as you said, straight to the buzzsaw of AIPAC, that, and also the divest sanctions boycott movement, which also has tremendous momentum and popularity, because to the activist community, it feels like something's happening, you know. And there's been some successes, and some companies, some there has been some movement as far as divest, and there are boycott efforts. What do you see the future of that? Because it's hard to motivate people to do things.
No, this is a great question, so let me answer it. The reason, you know, where boycott, divestment, sanctions has been effective with big institutions, it's where it was tactically flexible. So, for example, I was in Detroit a few months ago for a week with the Jewish Voice for Peace and others, where people were encouraging the Presbyterians to divest from three companies linked to the Israeli occupation of the West Bank and Gaza. Caterpillar, which makes the bulldozers that are used to destroy Palestinian homes, Motorola Solutions, and Hewlett Packard. And the thing is that the Presbyterians actually voted somewhat narrowly to divest. It was something like 310 to 303, and they did it on the basis that it's the official position of the Presbyterians. They support the two-state solution. They've engaged with these companies for years on their involvement in the occupation. The occupation refused to move. In fact, the Presbyterians, because the BDS movement, quote-unquote BDS movement, controversial in some people, they explicitly put the resolution that this is not an endorsement of the BDS resolution. My point is that when it came down to a practical political struggle, people were flexible, and that's how they won.
We're completely out of time.
So that's what we need with Congress, is for people to be strategic and tactically flexible, not ideological and dogmatic.
And we've got the website to go to. Tell people what they could do to help. It's Just Foreign Policy. You can find it right there. My guest has been Robert Naiman with Just Foreign Policy. Thank you so much for being with us today. This has been Echo Skadia for Monday, September 29th, 2014. Kate Welch engineered the show today for us. Thanks, Kate. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned. Locus Focus coming right up.